This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a gel flex grid. The gel flex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the gel flex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
Afternoon, at the tone, Pacific Daylight Time will be...
It's 5 o'clock.
5 o'clock.
One step closer to my own personal hell.
This is Primetime on Sports Radio 1080 The Fan.
We expect the best. We're not afraid to break someone. Do you hear me?
Primetime is your source for the best in local, regional, and national sports.
Go ahead and clap. Mediocrity deserves applause.
Isaac Rod.
I'm miserable. I had to get up at 10 o'clock this morning.
Jason Sakanet.
I'm a dude playing a dude disguised as another dude.
Primetime on 1080 The Fan.
All right. Welcome back. Hope you're having a nice little Monday. I know we are. We're up at A-Lin-A Casino at the Stadium Sports Bar and Grill up here.
Yeah.
Where Monday Night Football is just about to get underway. We've got Yankees Royals on. Saw a great stat on Aaron Judge. Can I disseminate it to you?
Please.
Now, of course, we're doing a radio show here, so we can't pay attention to the great Bob Costas on the Royals-Yankees broadcast.
You know, and can I push back on all the Bob Costas hate? Like, why are we crapping on Bob Costas? I mean, it drives me crazy that anytime, like who is the other one? Like, Rich Eisen. Like, anytime one of these guys, like, does one of the playoff games, then we have to do the hashtag Bob Costas sucks. Bob Costas does not suck. He may not be your cup of tea, but I love Bob Costas doing baseball.
Well, Bob Costas is an American treasure.
Yes.
And anybody that says he sucks is an idiot.
Thank you.
That said, he's not what he used to be.
I understand.
And I think that's maybe what they're pointing out. And he's even admitted that. I don't know if you've seen interviews with him. He admitted that.
He slowed down a little bit.
Well, he just admitted that he just needs to kind of change it up a little bit. He's a little older and, he's working on it.
I just don't like the Bob Costas aid.
Get out of here with that.
Take it somewhere else.
So Costas said, this is from P1 Scott, who texted me this because we're not listening to the broadcast here.
Yes.
As we're on the air. He said, Costas said that Aaron Judge has the highest postseason strikeout percentage in baseball history.
That's not good.
Did you know that, Jakey Poops? Did you know that, big fella?
Get you trying to throw shade.
35%.
It's not good.
He's hitting .205 in the postseason. In his career.
In his career. It's not good.
It's not good, man.
No, that's not what you want. Yeah, you learn something new every day. And by the way, we're up here, so a lot of fans are coming by. And I don't know if I've ever had this happen. We had someone who wasn't able to tell the difference between you and I.
Yeah. He said which one's which.
Said longtime listener.
Yeah.
And I thought he was being facetious, like, haha, which one's which. And I realized that, no, he was serious.
Yeah, he was.
I don't know if that's ever happened.
In the
19 years?
If he's really a longtime listener, he would never ask that question.
Right.
So I feel like he's lying.
He's lying.
But also, I always like to say, because every once in a while somebody will say, and I'm sure they do this to you, hey, are you Rop, or are you Big Sook?
Yeah.
And I always say, well, it depends.
Yeah, what do you, you know?
Do you like Isaac Rop? Because if so, yes, I am him. And if, yes, you can buy me a drink.
If not.
If not, no, I'm not him.
I don't know what you're talking about.
I hate him, too.
We've been doing this 19 years, and I don't know if I've had anyone that actually listens to the program who was not able to separate who's
who. Well,
it's
tough.
I mean, it's like looking into a, it's like looking into a mirror.
I told him to Google me, bitch.
I mean, I love him, but what a bitch.
I mean, of all the shows.
Yeah, he didn't. He really didn't know.
No, he seemed perplexed.
And I said I was Sook, and you said you were Rob.
And he was
and
like,
that
oh,
threw him for
yeah.
a loop.
He's like, oh, great.
And then I was like, well, which one do you like more?
Well, of all the shows that we have.
I'll be that one.
Are we the, I would assume that we're the easiest to tell apart? I mean.
I don't know.
No?
Oh, easy. Yeah.
Right? Like, of all the shows we have, is there another show that it would be easier to tell maybe Rashad, maybe Sports Sunday?
Yeah.
You know, other than that, but the regular day shows, I would assume that we're fairly easy to tell apart.
Yeah, pretty distinct.
Yeah, it's I would say so.
Me, chiseled.
All the tattoos that you have, like, what?
Chiseled, handsome, rugged.
Bald. You know, it's just...
Sexy.
Just doesn't seem like it's that hard, you know? One of us was a lineman, one of us played in the Pheasant Bowl. I just would think that that's a fairly dead giveaway, but no, he was perplexed.
Well, anyway, we're up here. They got wing specials. You can get some wings on special. You want to watch some sports with us?
Yeah. You can't go wrong with a wing special, by the way.
Here at A&A. Coming up, we'll have our college football cabaret. That continues. The scene at Cal was great. The scene in Nashville was great. The scene at Minnesota's upset of USC was great.
It was awesome.
And there was one other scene I want to point out in college football, which we'll get to.
Still not as good as the Vanderbilt goalposts getting a police escort down Broadway, the main stretch. And I saw someone put out a thing being like, how many bachelorette parties are about to encounter the most unexpected thing that when they're in there with their gummy penis straws and they're about to run into some goalposts going the wrong way on Broadway?
Yeah.
It's amazing.
Those ladies aren't gonna be having
no.
that. They're like, what is this?
Yeah, this is our time.
This wasn't in the schedule?
No, it was not.
Schedule of events.
And by the way, is there anything worse than encountering a bachelorette party out on a party street?
Girl, you something else.
I think when you were younger, it was great because you're like, oh, watch this.
Yeah, check this out.
Now it's like, oh, no. I pay you to go away?
I see that coming. Nothing will get me to turn around. And I would rather go teeth into like the Hell's Angels than I would a pack of drunken bachelorette party guests.
We also have our NFL Week 5 ankle biter. And coming up in the club, I don't know if we can read it or should read it, but Buck got a typed letter today.
Yeah, we told him it's not good.
I think we should
read it. It's not bad.
But we try to tell you, anytime someone types or handwrites something out, it's not good.
Just throw it straight in the trash. Yes.
That's why I had
advice.
Jeff Rust proofread it for me.
Well, right, but if...
Let him get the anthrax. Good.
But look,
good.
The point about this is even if it's overly positive and like, oh, you're the greatest, you don't want that either. No, just throw it away.
I was glad that I read this.
I actually was, too, because he texted it to us, and I'm like, wow. These never cease to disappoint. The typed... The listeners, and we love our listeners. I mean, most of them, not all of them. But if you take the time to sit down and type out a letter and mail it to us, it means that this is a, like,
it's
that's
important.
A very important thing to you.
Yeah.
And I got to tell you, man, you guys will never guess what is important to this guy.
Very strange.
Incredible.
Yeah.
It just never ceases to amaze me. So I hope maybe we'll read that.
Yeah, we'll see what happens in the club.
And if we are to believe one celebrity is not a perp.
No.
Wouldn't it be this man? That's later. Right now, the Hot 5 at 5.
Oh. Hot topics, hot opinions.
Oh, golly, I'm hot today.
And hot air. It's time for the Hot 5 at 5.
That's hot.
The Hot 5 at 5 on primetime with Isaac and Sue.
No, I mean it. That's very hot.
The Hot 5 at 5 with Isaac and Sue. Brought to you on The Fan by Victorico's Mexican Food. Discover Victorico's new savory menu items. Order in-store, online, or get it delivered straight to your door at victorico's.com.
Caitlin Clark is white.
Number five.
Now, we are at a casino, so do you have a play for tonight's Monday night game? You've got the Chiefs hosting the Saints.
So I think this is a desperate play for the Saints. Their offense has come back down to earth. I don't trust Kansas City. especially without Rice, who's been their only reliable target. To me, this is either you take the Saints and the points, or it might be a stay-away game. Take the under, if you will. Kansas City's offense is not good right now. So I would say take the under or Saints and the points, or and maybe even don't touch it. Perhaps, but that's not fun.
Could you play the Patrick Mahomes is distracted by watching the Royals game
yes.
angle?
Let's go with
he's
that.
He's just like Lane Kiffin watching the end of the Alabama game, you know?
I'm telling you, I know it's hard to think this because Kansas City's undefeated, but their offense is bad right now. It is not a good squad. And they lost their only reliable target. You know, Mahomes has completed 80% of his passes gone Rice's way. He has by far been their best thing.
Yeah, the spread is five, I believe, five and a half.
Yeah.
Here at the Allen A Sports.
I'll take some points.
I think I'd be inclined to take the points as well.
Yeah.
Rob, did you play the Royals today at the sportsbook?
No. No, I have enough on the line with my pride and soul.
That's all that matters. Your dignity.
All right. Hey, the Blazers are already banged up.
Yeah, I saw that.
This right. bodes well for...
right at capture the flag, right?
Yeah. Big man Robert Williams III was healthy for camp, but he strained his hamstring. They call it a grade one. He is out at least 2 weeks. Yeah. Shaedon Sharpe has a small tear in his shoulder. He is out 4 to 6 weeks. And I was listening to Danny driving in, and Danny was saying, be prepared for him to be gone for a while. Like, lost season.
And we're off to a rousing start. When's Scoot going to that lake and having something happen to his foot?
And then we have Matisse Thybulle, who is battling knee soreness.
Like, does it matter?
My favorite Blazer, yeah. I would like to put it on the record, yeah. live on the radio. Yeah. My favorite Blazer right now is Matisse Thybulle.
Yeah.
I find him delightful. I love him. I think he's great. I think he's a cool dude, and I like what he brings to the table. Yeah. But he has some knee soreness, so all bets are off. Right. Maybe not going to make the playoffs without him.
There's only one. Despite what Chauncey will tell you, there's one goal this year, and that's capture the flag.
The Blazers open in 16 sleeps.
Wow.
The judge in the House versus NCAA case preliminarily accepted a settlement between the sides in district court in Northern California today. So that means they will likely avoid trial. The final hearing will be set for April 7th. Now, if this ultimately gets to the finish line, which it looks like it's going that way, $2.75 billion will be paid to thousands of college athletes. Schools will then, beginning in 2025-26, they will be able to share between $21 and $22 million per year with its athletes moving forward. And that number would increase by 4% each year.
Yeah, and the judge said that, you know, there were some problems that could arise with this. Long way to go to the finish line, but fingers crossed. And by the way, some groups can opt out of this and continue with their own lawsuits. So, you know, it's like reading through, I think the what I was kind of getting from the legal experts is cautiously optimistic, right, that this thing will get pushed through.
Number two.
Because it's got to end eventually, right? I mean, we can't keep doing this where we sue the NCAA every 6 seconds.
The latest college football rankings have Oregon up to number 3 and Ohio State number 2 after the losses to Alabama and Tennessee. So that sets up the first ever top 5 matchup at Autzen Stadium this weekend.
Biggest game in Autzen history. And, you know, we talked about this a couple years ago when they went out to Ohio State. Look, I mean, this is what you've been building for if you're Oregon. This is why you've built along the lines. And, you know, I don't know if Oregon, Oregon doesn't look great. A little rough early on. They've stabilized. You got to love the way the defense is playing. Ohio State has looked the part. So, you know, this is everything you can want. You're going to find out more in this one game for Oregon than you have the previous, really for the rest of the season.
Well, the beauty of this game is, while it will be fun at Autzen, and it will be, you don't have to win the game.
No.
I mean, you can survive a loss here, but it will be a great litmus test to see where Oregon sits. By the way, one other college football note. Washington State has announced a big road game next season. They will be traveling to Ole Miss to take on Lane Kiffin.
That's cool.
In Oxford.
I've heard from many people, including the great Josh Wilcox, that there is not better places to go and tailgate and see a game than down in at Ole Miss.
I'm very jealous. Number one on my desired Oregon road game list.
Yeah.
Really? Ole Miss?
Yeah, people
rave
about it.
Yeah, their motto is, we may not lose every game, but we've never lost a party.
Yeah.
Bunch of hots down there, too.
Yeah, I've heard it's good from like 62 out.
pair of game twos in the divisional round of the Major League Baseball playoffs today. In dramatic fashion, Kerry Carpenter hit a three-run home run in the top of the ninth to break a scoreless tie off of the best closer in baseball, Emmanuel Clase of the Guardians. Tigers win game two in Cleveland 3-0. And they go back to Detroit, tied 1-1. Again, these are best of five.
Yeah, so every series right now, with the exception of Kansas City, New York, which we're waiting to see. This game's just underway. But yeah, every series now is 1-1. And it's had some drama in it.
Yeah, KC, New York, the Yankees are up 1-0 thanks to the stupid replay officials.
And the seven walks that you guys gave up.
We did give up seven walks.
It's not good.
But it was a good game. And game two is underway, and they are in the top of the third, and they are scoreless. It is Carlos Rodon for the Yankees against Cole Reagans of the Royals. The Hot 5 at 5 is brought to you by Victor Rico's Mexican Food. Discover Victor Rico's new savory menu items. Order in-store, online, or delivered straight to your door at victorricos.com. Let's get back to the college football caber.
You're doing great.
I know I am. The college football cabaret, next on The Fan.
It's Division I football!
Suddenly a lot going on here,
well,
sports-wise.
Derek Carr decided to throw arguably the worst interception you'll ever see. I mean,
Jordan Love would like a word.
What is, like...
That Jordan Love one.
Boy.
Was.
I mean, just there are times, and Derek Carr is a solid quarterback, but that is... Like, was Will Levis, did we miss a trade? Was Will Levis playing for the Saints? Like, Derek Carr was under a little pressure, and he just literally just threw the ball straight up in the air. Wasn't hit or anything. I don't know what that was.
Not great. Not great.
I mean.
Chiefs take over.
It's unbelievable.
And we got the Royals and Yankees headed to the bottom of the third, scoreless. And let's be fair. Preseason NBA basketball, Spurs, Oklahoma City, first quarter. Catch the fever. Is your first quarter over-under looking good?
How's Wemby looking? Is he linking up with Chris Paul pretty nice?
To be fair, it's far away from me and my angle's a little off, so I'm not able to give you a detailed breakdown.
Well, Wemby's the tall one. Look for him.
Yeah, I don't see him. I don't think he's out there.
I can't give you a detailed breakdown of that Derek Carr interception, and I don't know. If I'm a Saints fan, I want to put Tabasco in my eyes over that. I mean, my God, there's some bad quarterback play in this league at times.
Well, good thing you're not a Saints fan.
No. I want to root for the Saints. I love New Orleans. I want to pull for the Saints. And for two glorious weeks, they were great. And now, not so much.
Yeah, I think Dennis Allen sucks. That's my hot Saints take.
That's your hot take.
So I just don't think he's going to last all that long. I know they started hot, but he'll eventually show you he's Dennis Allen, and they'll be...
Told you it wasn't sustainable.
They'll be 9-8.
Derek Carr. Ugh.
So do they have the next guy in-house? Don't they have the Kubiak kid who's their OC?
Yeah, Kubiak's the OC.
Well, they should just move on to him.
Well, not if their offense keeps playing like this.
So the scene at Cal, College Game Day, it was great. Cal showed out. I did love... have you been following liberal Calgarithm at all?
No, I have
on
not.
Social?
Should I?
Yes, they're great.
Okay.
Because... What's happened is there are some college football fans at Cal.
Sure.
Who run.
Oh, there it is.
They run a Twitter account, X account.
Woke Mob Football on Twitter, by the way, in case you were wondering.
And they troll all of, because Cal is now in the ACC, so they're now going to play in places like South Carolina and in the South.
Well, it's like Miami was woke versus Coke, which is that's an amazing line.
Well, 2 weeks ago was big as they went to Tallahassee, Florida. So there was they were like, we're going to come and vax you and we're going to wear our masks and we're going to bring our pronouns. And like, it was a whole thing.
Yeah. So they're doing a whole bit.
Yeah.
Leaning into the liberal woke thing.
Sure.
And they're absolutely trolling fans from the South and they are biting. Hook, line, and sinker.
Can't help themselves.
I mean, fish on hook every time they tweet. It's really funny. But some of the best signs at Cal Game Day, one was...
they were. The signs at Game Day, these are all-timers.
One was the Adams-Onis treaty was a mistake. Did you see that one? And, of course, we all had to Google that.
Yeah, everyone immediately was like, wait, the smart kids are being smart. We're like, hold on, the dum-dums need to look this up.
And that's when we got Florida from Spain.
Yes.
Of course, they were playing Miami. That's a great... Oh, thank you. That's a great bit. Another one was Ought for Heisperson.
Yes. And by the way, like that sign was enormous in the in the background.
Hot for like, highest person. And dude, go look it up on social media. There are all kinds of people that are like, oh, of course they would say odd for highest person. You got to have a pronoun.
It's named after John Heisman. Don't you know your history of the award?
I will say that we played Cal one year when I was at BYU, and that was back when we had the naked guy that was roaming Cal.
Yeah.
And so we got
like in the trees and stuff?
Yeah, so we got to roam around Cal. We got to go check out the campus, and I am proud to say that we did encounter and high-five the naked guy at Cal.
Yeah?
Yeah. He just cruises around. Yeah, he was like sitting up and, you know, he went around and like hung out in trees and he just cruised around campus.
I tell you what, shout out to these bartenders down here at the Stadium Sports Bar.
Yeah.
That is a hell of an old fashioned.
Oh.
It's really good.
I haven't had the pleasure yet.
It looks delightful on the YouTube stream, I have to imagine.
That is a really nice drink. Thank you. Yeah. Okay. Oh, what was I going to say? Oh, the other one was I have concepts of a sign. That was good. But the Cal, listen, I did not know what to expect from Cal.
Yeah. Can I also submit I only do lines of code?
Yeah,
yeah.
I only two lines of code, or like you're blocking the library was another one. But they're leaning. It's funny.
And it was a great crowd.
Cal is not
known for having anyone that gave a damn, and they understood the assignment. And it's a good football team this year. And the only bad part was they had no. They were kicking Miami's ass. They had no business losing that game, and they gacked it away. And the refs helped, but they had no business losing that game.
It would have been a big win. The scene was great there. The scene was great in Nashville. Of course, they beat Alabama. The scene at Minnesota, like, PJ Flex got a little something up there. I don't know how good they are, but they have a good fan base.
Mm-hmm. It's a cool stadium.
Cool stadium. Yeah, kind of a cool scene. And the other one that we got to give a shout-out to is up in Seattle.
Yes.
Washington did it.
It's a big win.
They took care of Michigan. Michigan turned it over a couple of times in the fourth quarter. Washington looked pretty good. Huge win. And the scene there was, I mean, it was. I thought it was cool for Washington. I know what, you know, obviously with the Kalen DeBoer thing. And,
sure.
And the championship, and they, you know, Jed Fish is like, ah.
And Washington had I had no faith in Washington because they had no business losing the two games that they did, and they didn't execute down the stretch, and you knew Michigan was going to drag you into deep waters. Michigan made a change at quarterback, and all of a sudden that kid came in and was slinging the ball a little bit, and it felt like, okay, here we go. Michigan's going to bully you into the third and fourth quarter. This is what we're going to do, and Washington will fold because this is what Washington does. And give Washington a lot of credit. That's a big win, and they needed that. They needed that to stabilize the program because I think there were a lot of Washington fans that were starting to kind of be like, hey, man, what the hell are we doing here?
Well, you know what their next two are?
What do they got?
They have to go to Iowa this week.
Okay.
And then they play at Indiana.
Those are big games.
So they really needed
that game. Yes.
Much like USC needed the Minnesota game because they now have to play Penn State.
Yeah.
Like that Big Ten, it's rough.
Yeah, it is rough.
When you got a shot, you got to close it out.
Yeah.
And Washington did.
Yeah.
That was a hell of a win.
And so, you know, considering that you know, the two close losses in the Apple Cup and then the one at Rutgers, it was nice to see them pull it out. And, yeah, that fan base was going nuts. Dude, look at this stretch, by the way, for Washington. They're at Iowa, at Indiana, home to USC, on the road to Penn State.
Oof.
Dude, that is – that's bad. And, by the way, so, I mean – Washington fan that staved off some anger. That's a rough stretch. Yeah. So maybe that fan base rises back up. But at least you hang your hat on a top 10 win. Even though we all knew Michigan's not the 10th best team in the country. But it's a talented team, and
they were ranked 10.
They were ranked 10.
All right, we will wrap up the college football cabaret next. What's up with Lincoln Riley? We'll look at the Heisman odds and who is a worse hang. Jay Norvell or Trent Bray?
Oh, interesting.
But first, Buck with SportsCenter.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex Grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex Grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
This show is sponsored by Midi Health. There are great things that come with age. Wisdom, experience, and knowledge, just to name a few. But if you're a woman over 40, it can also bring some less desirable things like hot flashes, insomnia, brain fog, moodiness, and weight gain, all symptoms of menopause and perimenopause. Yes, hormonal transition is a fact of life, but that doesn't mean you have to accept its symptoms as just another part of aging. Midi clinicians are menopause experts, equipped to support you with safe, effective, FDA-approved medications, as well as supplements, lifestyle coaching, and preventative health guidance. You'll come out of the experience feeling heard and with a plan to start feeling better. Midi offers accessible care. All their services are covered by insurance, and they're conveniently accessible through telehealth visits and 24/7 messaging. You deserve to feel great. Book your virtual visit today at joinmidi.com. That's join, M-I-D-I. com.
The days are getting shorter, but the lights couldn't be brighter. This time of year, baseball is different, and the whole world is watching. All of the clutch hits, the game-saving grabs, the plays at the plate, and the head-first slides under the tag. That's peak baseball. Experience all of the autumn action. It's postseason season. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Right when we talk about Bob Costas and all the Bob Costas hate, a buddy of mine, Drew, needs to be shamed because he texted me and he said, when did Bob Costas get this bad?
Oh, for God's sake!
And I said, leave the American treasure alone.
Dude, I swear.
He must not be listening to the show.
Anytime Bob Costas goes, we do this every year. Bob Costas, Rich Eisen, I'm trying to think who's the other one that does some of the Monday night games. Who's the ESPN guy?
Steve Levy.
Oh, he sucks.
And we instantly have to turn into the, oh, my God.
Look at you, a hypocrite, Rob.
It drives me crazy. There's nothing wrong with any of them.
Hold on. Let's not compare Steve Levy to Bob Costas, okay?
Look,
Steve Levy can't hold Bob Costas' American jock.
Well.
And you know it.
I'm not saying that they're in the same category. I'm just saying the weird amount of hate, like Joe Buck used to get this. Anytime Joe Buck would do something, we had to listen to the Joe Buck hate, and everyone finally shut up and was like, all right, Joe Buck's fine.
Well,
they're fine. And Bob Costas doing baseball, I love hearing Bob Costas do baseball. Is he the best in the world at it? No. Has he lost a step? Sure. But postseason baseball, to me, feels like Bob Costas. And if you don't like Bob, just shut up. Why do you have to go into the void now and just scream about it?
I will say my buddy Drew did sort of out himself because he said Bob Costas forever remembered for Pink Eye Olympics.
Man.
Which, true, but
That was the best part about that Olympic.
Get out. Hell yeah.
Oh, yeah. Who was that?
Salvi.
Okay.
1-1. Royals, Yankees. How about that, Rodon? You little bitch. Oh, sorry.
You all right?
Are we on the air?
Yeah, we're on the air.
You freaking
lots of screaming,
bitch!
Cheering in here.
Yeah.
I'm going to kick your ass, you little bitch.
Well, I don't know. We got into Bob Costas somehow, and the Bob Costas hate. I don't know where you were going, but that's...
Oh, I just wanted to call up my friend.
Okay.
Because he's clearly not listening to the show because he didn't hear us say...
Stop bagging on
plead
Bob Costas.
To the public, and, lay off Bob Costas.
Knock it off.
And then
that
he texts
whiny
Bob Costas.
Yeah.
Wrapping up the college football cabaret, a few things. I was mentioning worse hang, Jay Norvell or Trent Bray. That Colorado State-Oregon State game was really good.
Yeah, it was.
But, boy, does it seem like you don't want to hang around with either of those two head coaches?
I'm taking Bray, who doesn't seem like the most jovial person, but Norvell just seems like a...
He's a jerk.
He seems like an ass.
He's a lot.
He is a lot.
But Bray...
Bray was pretty upset. There were some PA calls that he was not... He was not
you
too happy.
You were about red ass. There's your new red ass coach of the year, Trent Bray.
That's a big win for them, though. And by the way, I've got a couple of these. Just remember, Oregon State and Washington State, neither one of them is eligible for the group of five. Because, like, Oregon State plays Boise State at the end of the year, and so there's some people that are like, oh, could that game be for the group of five? The Pac-12 is not eligible for the group of five. So the only way Oregon State or Washington State could get into the playoff is if they were an at-large team, and that's not going to happen under any circumstances. So no, once the Pac-12 is rebuilt, then you could be a group of five team or a group of six that makes it in, but this year that is not the case. But a nice win for Oregon State. Well, as they keep grinding through.
Caveat, you make it sound like they can't make the playoff. I get what you're saying, but they actually can. They just have to be ranked in the top 12.
Yeah, they'd have to be selected, and that is not going to happen.
Well, I get what you're saying, and it will not happen, but they do have a path. They just have they just have to be ranked. Well, you're making it sound as if there's no way they can make the playoff.
Yes,
there is a way. It's just not going to happen based on their schedule.
Yes.
They're not going to win enough big games to get into the top
12. Washington State and Oregon State will not be selected.
Theoretically, if all of a sudden they just start killing everybody
and
ranked 10th,
yes, they would get
it's possible that they could make the playoff.
Yes, just that they're not eligible for the best group of five. Which, by the way, right now, it looks like Boise State. Boise State looks really good.
Dude.
And their lone loss is a game that they should have won, and that was against the number three team in the country right now in Oregon.
That loss is going to age well because Oregon's going to be there in the end.
Yep.
And Ashton Jeanty
could win the Heisman.
It's the top-ranked win by any team in the top 10. So, like, no team in the top 10 has a win over a team as high-ranked as Boise at 17.
He now has 1,000 yards on 90 carries.
Yes. He's killing
90.
People. And you look at their schedule, and again, always be careful with this because, as you saw last week in college football, anyone can jump up. But Boise State has Hawaii, UNLV, San Diego State, Nevada, San Jose State, Wyoming, and then that one at Oregon State. Boise State is going to be tough to keep out as the best group of five team. And I'm telling you, in those early scenarios where five is playing them, I'm not certain you want to see Boise State at this point the way they played Oregon.
Not with a running back like that.
Not with a running back like that.
Do you care to get – he has 1,031 yards, 95 carries. He has 16 tutties. And by the way, he doesn't even play in the second half because they kill everybody.
Yes.
He didn't play in the second half in this last weekend.
No.
He is averaging 10.9 yards per carry.
It's stupid what he's doing.
That's insane.
Yes.
And yet he's still not going to win the Heisman.
No, probably not.
He's the favorite. I was looking at this. This is where I was teasing Life Comes At You Fast. Shocking new Heisman candidate on the board. Did you see that?
I did not.
Cade Klubnik.
Oh, really?
All of a sudden, the Clemson quarterback is on the board.
Well, and again, we've talked about this the last couple weeks. So Clemson goes out and lays that giant egg against Georgia. Remember, that was like a one-score game at the half. And then in the second half, you know, they got blown out, and their offense, it was terrible. Since that Georgia game, they have put up 66, 59, 40, and 29 against Florida State. And the ACC is not good. Look out. Dude, Clemson absolutely could be there. And if they roll through the rest of the schedule, remember, they don't play Miami. They'd play him in the ACC title game. But absolutely, he could find himself there in New York.
I'm not taking him. He's plus 1,600. By the way, Cade Klubnik, the Clemson quarterback, is the same odds right now as Dylan Gabriel of Oregon.
Really?
They're plus 1,600. Which, by the way, Dylan Gabriel at plus 1,600 is not a bad buy.
No, especially if Oregon keeps winning.
Good
to
value.
Give you that. To give you perspective, Ashton Jeanty is the odds-on favorite at plus 225.
Mm.
He ain't winning.
No.
Plus 225. And then it's Travis Hunter, who I also don't think is going to win. I think those guys will be there, but I don't think they're going to win it. It's ultimately going to be the quarterback of the top team. And that's where Quinn Ewers – you know what Quinn Ewers is right now?
What's he got?
Plus 2,000.
Well, and, you know, he's been beat up and he's been hurt, so – you know,
is a great value because that dude first of all, he's one of the best quarterbacks, if not the best, in the country.
Yeah.
And all they need to do He needs to play really well against Georgia. Yeah. And if he does that, he's going to put up big numbers the rest of the way. Plus 2,000 is a great bet.
Because Milroe was the favorite, and then he just lost to Ole Miss. And so it does feel like, in general, this season, it feels like it's completely wide open. And, you know, we got you mentioned Hewers, who's been hurt. But, you know, for Texas, and then the number two team in Ohio State, Ohio State doesn't have anybody. I haven't seen anyone. It's certainly not Howard. It's not either one of their receivers, not either one of their backs. Ohio State's just kind of sitting there, and maybe they're just so diversified that they don't have a singular entity.
Well, their quarterback's not. I mean,
no,
he's not
Will
lighting
Howard's,
the world on fire.
No, they're just solid.
They're really, their player, their best guy is the freshman receiver,
yeah.
Smith,
yeah.
Who keeps making one-handed touchdowns.
Dude, silly.
He's great, and it will be fun to watch him against Muhammad and Oregon
secondary.
The
problem with Ohio State is they've got two, if not three, really good receivers. They got two split backs, and their quarterback doesn't have eye-poppy numbers. So it's like it's more of a collection of talent than it is a singular force.
Somebody will, if they continue to win,
sure.
And you get down to the Michigan game,
jump up.
Somebody will pop up. It'll probably be one of their running backs.
Yeah.
But
no, still, keep an eye on Milroe, that's the interception killed him. But yeah. You know, Alabama ain't going anywhere. Alabama will be fine. They'll stabilize, and Milroe will continue to put up big numbers.
Last nuggie, I wrote down what Lincoln Riley said after the Minnesota. Did you see? He is so weird. And I know we've talked about USC already today, so we don't need to spend a ton of time on this.
Yeah.
But did you see what he said after the game in the press conference?
No, I did not.
So he was up there. They lose to Minnesota.
Yep.
And they
right at the end.
They go into the press conference, and it's him and two players.
We talk about P.J. Fleck, by the way, 4th-and-1 and not kicking the field.
I know.
We don't talk about – I mean, it worked out, but holy. I was, like, sitting there.
That's
on my couch.
That's a bad call,
I was
right?
Sitting on my couch being like, what are you doing?
Isn't that a bad call? Which is a worse call.
I thought it was a horrific call.
So if you don't know, he went – so it was a tie game.
Yeah.
4th-and-1 on the one.
Yeah.
And he went for
it. Went for it.
He did not kick the field goal to take the lead.
Yeah.
Well, ultimately, Moss threw an interception in the end zone going the other way, and Minnesota won.
I guess maybe he was on to something with it. USC drove down and still had a chance. But, I mean, I get if you get stopped there, I mean, my God.
I kind of like the balls, though, because if you get stopped there, I think one advantage of doing that is if you get stopped there, you pin them on the one, and you feel like if you've got a good enough defense, you can hold them there or at least force a punt.
Yeah.
But I also I kind of like the balls there, man.
Boy,
I mean, it's not the smartest move. I don't know what analytics says, but anytime a coach, and I don't care what part of the field it's on, yeah. I'm honest about this. If there is 1 yard, my team ought to be able to get one effing yard.
Yeah.
Seriously, at 1 yard, just go and get it. So which is worse, that or Boss Hogg in Arkansas going for scoring a touchdown when Tennessee wanted them to?
Yeah, because, I mean, you just kneel the ball and kick the field goal. I mean, both of those were – there were multiple times sitting in college and the NFL this week where I was sitting there – I'm looking right at you, Raiders – where you're just kind of sitting there and you're like, what are you doing? It's just it's perplexing to me, some of the decisions that are being made. But in the case of Minnesota, you know, it worked out. So, you know – And again, to prove him right, they scored a touchdown, and USC had a chance to go down, and they got it into the end zone. And had they kicked the field goal, that would have been to win the game, not tie the game. So, you know, maybe P.J. Fleck was on something.
Well, but the flip side of the way to look at that is
if you
kick the field goal, you still win the game.
Still win the game.
You held them.
It was bizarre. But anyway, I did not see what Lincoln Riley said after the game.
What he said was, on that goal line play – one of the media members asked one of the players that was sitting next to Lincoln Riley, they said, hey, did you think he was in? Because it was close.
Yes.
And Riley stopped the reporter down and he said, you can't ask a kid if he thought they got into the end zone on a goal line play. His quote was, who cares what he says? Like what, a player's opinion? Let's ask a more professional question.
Oh.
That's what he said.
You got a little snippy there, huh?
Well, he did get snippy, and I don't really understand why. Like, that's a fair question. Like, did you think he got in? That's not a weird question.
Well, I always say this. I don't think Lincoln Riley's at that point where you're worried about where that program's going. But we talk about this with Florida and Billy Napier. When you start sniping at best way to put this. One of the signs that your program is in trouble and is not going the right way is when the head coach starts picking fights with fans or with media.
That's right.
It's not a good sign. And that's interesting. I didn't hear that. When you start getting upset at simple questions that are being asked.
Yeah, he got all weird about it. It's like, that's not even one to get weird about. Like, no, I don't see his line of thinking.
That's like when you come home and you know, I don't know, you leave your shoes at a certain place, your wife starts yelling at you. It's not about your shoes.
Yeah, right.
You've done seven other things led up, and the shoes were the catalyst. That's not about that question. It's just that Lincoln knows that he has now lost two games that he has no business losing, and that they should have won, and they've let him slip away, and largely that's based on him.
All right, that wraps up our college football cabaret. We will begin, and we will not get far, but there's always tomorrow's show.
Yes.
We will begin our NFL Week 5 ankle biter next on The Fan. All right, Chiefs lead the stupid Saints 7-0.
Yeah.
My Royals.
By the way, you reverse jinxed it again.
Wait, what
it's
did
two
Hampson?
For two. He got a single and
he
drove
did?
In a run.
3-1?
3-1.
Ah!
Yeah.
Ah!
That's twice now that you've reverse jinxed the Royals, saying we have no chance with this bum up, and then he delivers. You should keep doing that.
Oh, there's another one.
Yeah. Like, you literally just got done being like, no chance with this bum up, and he drives a run in.
Boom! 4-1. Oh, come on, base running, fellas.
Oh, we got the old pickle play here.
Damn it. 4-1, Royals lead the Yankees, top of four. They pulled Carlos Rodon, Salvi went yard. Yeah, so last week I was telling you the Royals have a guy by the name of MJ Melendez.
Yes.
Who will do nothing the entire series.
The Dave Magadan of the Kansas City Royals, killing rallies.
And he hit a home run.
Yeah.
And, I think he went two for four in the first.
And right before you got up there, who was that was up?
That was Garrett Hampson.
Garrett Hampson.
And I'm like, no chance with this guy at the plate.
Right as you got up to go to the bathroom, like 30 seconds later, he singled the left and drove in a run. And I was like, damn, that reverse jinx.
Hell yeah. Hey, Jake, you worried yet? very much worried.
That's a yes.
That was a yes. I got to text Ryan Cooley. What should I tell him?
Boy, that's awful early for you to jinx this. You just reverse jinx.
I'm not trying to jinx anything. What I'm trying to do is get in Cooley's kitchen. I'm going to kick your ass, you little bitch.
It's a bold move to be texting the other fan base this early when you're winning. You just set yourself up for a glorious failure.
All right. I'm going to double down.
Right.
I'm going to get cocky. I'll tell you right now. That first game, Royals-Yankees, I didn't like it because Michael Wacha versus Gerrit Cole was a mismatch.
Yeah.
And it's like, nah. Our two studs are Reagans and Lugo, who are pitching today and, I guess, Wednesday. So if we won game one, icing.
Yeah.
But didn't expect to win it.
Sure.
It starts now. And I got to tell you, I'm not that impressed with the Yankees. I'm not. They got holes all up and down their lineup. Aaron Judge can't hit. Their defense sucks.
Sitting 205 in the postseason.
I mean, what's not to love? I love where the Royals are right now.
Go Kansas City.
We're the ones with the pedigree, not you bitches. We won in 2015. When's the last time the Yankees won?
It's a valuable point. Have been to two World Series and have won one. When's the last time New York did either one? So I think what we're saying here is that the Yankees are the plucky little team from the Bronx. Meanwhile, the big, bad, evil empire, your Kansas City Royals.
You can't stop Garrett Hampson.
I love how fired up you are right now.
Let's
I like
go.
It.
Might be the drinks.
It's possible. It's possible. You got a little casino in your blood right
I
now.
I love the casino.
You got a little Johnny Cash up in your
is
blood.
Is there anything better than a casino? Just the feel. You got sports. You got booze. If you want, you can go and gamble.
If you want.
Get those loins going.
There's a little something for everybody.
I just love it. All right. Well, we're not going to get to the NFL Week 5 ankle biter.
No.
We'll have to save that for tomorrow.
It was an interesting week in the NFL, though.
It was a great week in the NFL.
Yes.
That's the thing. This is... Not only was the baseball playoffs amazing this weekend, so was college football and all the upsets. Yeah. But what about the NFL?
Boy, there were some real...
Oh, my God.
There were some real head-scratchers for me. And starting in Seattle, how on earth did the Seahawks get bullied in that game by the Giants? And I know it ended up on the field goal in the end of the game, but they were pushed around. And I get it. There's injuries, but... To be physically beat up and let the Giants offense without Malik Nabers do that to you, I didn't see that coming at all. San Francisco blows yet another lead that they had no business blowing whatsoever. Josh Allen looks like crap for the second week in a row. And let me just state for the record right now, Cleveland has to bench Deshaun Watson.
Yeah,
they
for
just
sure.
they just have to.
Didn't he quit on him?
Yes, pretty much.
Did you see that play?
Yeah, and there's some other context behind it, but I mean, it's
Wait, I want to know what that is because when I if you haven't seen the video, there was I think it was fourth down, right?
Yeah.
And Stefanski is talking to Watson on the headset, and Watson literally walks off the field.
Yeah, there's
and you can tell Stefanski was pissed about it.
Yeah, I'm trying to think exactly what it was, but there was a deeper thing that kind of it shed some context. I'll look it up because I read it when I saw that on Twitter. I was like, oh my god, because I don't know if you were doing this too, but I didn't watch any of that game in the fourth quarter because
no.
Cleveland was getting their ass kicked. And there's no reason to watch the Browns and that sorry-ass offense. And I saw that, and I was like, oh, boy. And then someone put some context behind it, and I was like, all right, that kind of takes some of the edge off. But that right now appears, the Deshaun Watson thing, to be the worst decision in NFL history. Like, the Herschel Walker trade was probably kind of the gold standard. But I think at this point it's safe to assume that what is happening right now in Cleveland and Deshaun Watson is the biggest mistake that a franchise has ever made in making a trade and committing to someone. And for the life of me, I don't recall someone that good, seemingly for no reason, falling off the map. He is the worst quarterback.
Yeah, it's crazy.
In the NFL.
Worse? I mean, well, not worse, but just strangest career arc?
Yes.
It's got to be him and
never
maybe like Geno Smith.
Never seen it. Yeah, I mean, but I mean, we've seen reclamation projects. Find me someone at the age of 24-ish who was he was a top four quarterback in the league. That just doesn't happen.
Do we owe Bill O'Brien an apology?
Something. But I mean, I honestly think that whatever happened in the media and having his public life blown up, and it's all his fault. I mean, he did it. I just don't know what happened in his head, because he was always viewed as a good guy. He was viewed as a good teammate. He was viewed as at Clemson and all that. I just don't know if he's ever been comfortable being exposed the way he was. And there is something in his in his ears, because that's not a physical thing. You know, he's like 27, 28 years old. Like, he should be entering the prime of his career. And the weird part about it is we've seen this Cleveland offense and that coaching staff with lesser quarterbacks be better. I mean, this isn't like he's in a bad situation where no one around him knows what he's doing.
Yeah, it's weird.
It's just because
Flacco went in for them and
yes,
played great.
This is
Baker was fine.
I've never seen anything quite like this.
It's really wild. All right, if we are to believe one celebrity is not a perp, isn't it this guy? And late breaking news: Ryan Buckley, our producer back in the studio, got a typed, mailed letter.
His first one. Congratulations,
yeah.
Your cherry's been popped.
So we're going to have to read it.
Oh, boy.
Because these are never good.
No.
Next on The Fan.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
Now with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Tip, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.